I want to preach both messages from John 3 today. I want to first just look at the message that the Lord preached to Nicodemus, and then the second hour we'll look at the brazen serpent. Now, every word that our Lord Jesus spoke was vitally important. The Bible is the word of the Lord. And if you have a red letter Bible, some may think, you know, we think those are the words of the Lord Jesus, but this whole book is the word of the Lord, everything in it. But when the Lord spoke and he said, verily, verily, he was telling us something vital. He was telling us something absolutely true, absolutely necessary. He said in John 3:3, when he was speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee. And notice that each time he says, I say unto thee. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, born of the Word, the washing of water by the Word, the incorruptible seed, and born of the Holy Spirit. Except a man be born again, he can't see or enter the kingdom of God. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound, but you can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so's everyone that's born of the Spirit. Now here's where our text begins, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Are you a teacher of Israel and you know not these things? These things were plainly declared in the Old Testament. And Nicodemus had those scriptures and was supposedly preaching those scriptures. The Lord said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. And I'll put my spirit in you, the Lord said, and you'll live. And Nicodemus was a teacher in Israel. He was a very moral man. He was of the Sanhedrin. But he didn't know these things. He had not been born of God. But listen to the Lord's next verily right here. Verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Christ speaks here as the head of all his people in whose heart he abides. He's speaking of all his people. He's the head. He's the representative. He says we. Now, maybe he's speaking of John the Baptist, maybe some of the apostles that were with him. We're speaking to Nicodemus as well, but he's speaking here as the head of all his people, those in whom he abides. We speak that we do know and testify that we've seen. Remember when the Lord went to be baptized of John, and John didn't want to baptize him, and the Lord said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He was fulfilling righteousness for us, his people, his elect. And just like it is with everything our Lord did as our head, Christ is the perfection of our witnessing. He's the perfection of our preaching and our witnessing of him. He is the faithful and true witness. We see through a glass darkly. We know in part. But all in whom he abides, all in whom Christ abides, he makes us know him and testify of him. James said of believers, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. The unction of the Holy Spirit has given us faith in Christ. He's given us faith. We've been born of him so that we know Christ and believe on Christ. And brethren, it's through faith in Christ. It's receiving Christ himself, believing Christ himself. It's through faith that he makes us know and understand the doctrine, the gospel. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence. Listen to this order. Through faith, we understand. It's not the other way around. It's not we come to the doctrine and we learn all this doctrine and we understand this doctrine and then we believe on Christ. We don't understand anything till we believe on Christ. It's through faith we understand. The Spirit of our Lord makes us speak that we do know, testify that we have seen by faith. David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my mouth." Now, the Spirit's not going to make you infallibly be able to write out the Scriptures like he did holy men of old when he was writing the Scriptures, but he does make us know Christ, and he does make us sure of him. We know him. We know him. And he makes you testify of that we know and testify of that we've seen. It's through faith in Christ that we understand the things that are freely given to us of God. It's first believing Christ. It's believing Christ. What was Nicodemus' problem? The issue was not the things the Lord told him. The issue was not the doctrine the Lord preached to him. That was not the issue. The problem was Nicodemus did not believe Christ himself. That was the issue. The Lord said repeatedly, "I say unto thee, I say unto thee." And then he said, "And you receive not our witness." He said in verse 12, "If I have told you earthly things," see that? If I have told you earthly things and you believe not me, you don't believe my witness, how shall you believe me if I tell you heavenly things? If we don't believe Christ, it doesn't matter if he's declaring we're hearing basic doctrine, the earthly things where he works in you in the beginning, or whether we're hearing of heavenly things. If we don't believe him, we're not going to understand. We're not going to believe the rest of the doctrine. The issue, brethren, where folks are questioning and questioning and questioning, the issue's not the doctrine. That's not the issue. The issue is sinners do not believe Christ himself. That's the issue. We must first believe Christ himself. We must believe on him. We must receive him as the witness. And then through faith in Christ, he will give us more light to understand and see him in greater light and grow in the knowledge of him. But it begins with him. Believe in him. Remember Nathanael, look back at John 1 and look at verse 47. Jesus saw, John 1, 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." Now listen to Nathanael. He answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." He believed Christ. He believed him. He believed him. And the Lord answered and said, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou me?" That's who he believed on. He believed Christ. And he said, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." Believing on Christ, you're going to see greater things. He's going to give you more light. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Everything he teaches us, the light he continues to teach us, is of him. It's about him and his mediatorial finished work as our Redeemer. Now look, go back to our text. Now first, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Son of God, sent by God to be his true and faithful witness. This one who stood there in human flesh speaking to Nicodemus, he's the Son of God. He's the one God sent to be the true and faithful witness. He says in verse 13, he said, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." The Lord Jesus is declaring he's the only God-man mediator. He's declaring he is the faithful witness. He's the truth. He's the word. He is the revelation of God. No man has ascended up into God's presence and heard God speak and heard directly from God, but he has. He came from God. Back in John 1:18, it said, "No man hath seen God at any time." That's what he's declaring here. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. In Revelation 3:14, he said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Look at John 7 and verse 16. John 7, verse 16. He says, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man would do his will," what's his will? Remember he said in John 6, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him." That's where it starts, seeing Christ and believing on him. And he said, "And he that will do his will," he that will believe on Christ, "he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And there's no unrighteousness in him." That's Christ, brethren. Look at the first part of our Lord's statement back there in John 3, in verse 13. "No man hath ascended up to heaven." Now that's true, brethren. No sinner, no mere man, not even those saints of old that have died and are now with the Lord, they didn't ascend up to heaven. The Lord raised them. They entered into heaven. Enoch was translated that he not should not see death, but it was the Lord that raised him. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, but it was Christ that took him up. In the end, we're going to be, when he returns, he's going to make the dead in Christ rise first, and then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up with him. But it's him that's going to do that. But Christ is the only man who ever ascended. By himself, of himself, he ascended into heaven. Now take the rest of this statement. "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." No man has ascended to heaven, but the Son of God who descended. That one who stood there talking to Nicodemus, as the Son of Man, he's the Son of God. He is God. He's Jehovah's faithful witness. He's the revelation of the triune God. He's everything God has to declare about himself. That's who Christ is. Notice that last phrase. He says, "even the Son of Man which is in heaven." That's declaring he's God. While he was on this earth as a man, he's God and man in human flesh, but being God, he was in heaven while he was standing here on earth as a man. And that's who he is. Look, he declares here he's true and he's faithful. He's the witness of God. He speaks that which he does know. He knows in perfection. He testifies that which he's seen with his own eyes in the very throne of heaven. Everything he reveals concerning God, he's the faithful witness. He said in John 8:26, "He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." John 12:44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." He's one with the Father. He said in John 5:24, he said, John 5:24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." Isn't that an odd statement? "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." How do we believe on the Father? We believe on Christ. He said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." See, they're one. Whatever God reveals about himself, we're going to behold it through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and he has to be the revealer. He said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." No mere man is going to reveal Christ to us. He's not going to reveal the things of God to us. Christ is the revealer. He's the revealer. He told those Pharisees, they didn't believe on him. He said, "How can you believe when you receive honor one of another?" Nicodemus, in the state he was in, Nicodemus was more concerned about not offending his companions, his religious companions, more so than offending God. He was more willing to side with them against Christ than to side with Christ against them, because he had not yet heard Christ. So he's the one the Father sent. The Lord said back in Isaiah, "Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people. I've given him to be a commander and a leader of the people." And so that's why the Father spoke from heaven and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." That's it's first looking to Christ and believing him. You know, people will sit and hear the gospel and they have all these questions and they want to understand all this doctrine. But that's not the problem. The problem is they don't believe the one that God sent. They don't believe Christ. If you believe Christ, he'll teach you the doctrine. You'll understand the doctrine. You'll know the doctrine. But it begins with him birthing us again and bringing us to believe him. So how are we going to be made to hear and believe him? Well, I want to look now just at this overview here of just this message that the Lord preached to Nicodemus here. He said, you know, the Lord told the woman at the well, he said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." When he purposely, effectually speaks into our heart, that's when we're going to be born of the Word, the incorruptible seed. That's when the Spirit of God enters in and gives life. And he's speaking here to Nicodemus. And you know, Nicodemus later believed the Lord. But we're seeing here how the Lord does this. What's the message he preaches to his people? Well, the first thing Christ reveals to us is that he knows us. He knows us. He told Nathanael that he knew him. He told the woman at the well all about her. And he told Nicodemus here that he knew him. He teaches him first that he's lost. That's the first thing he's going to teach a man, that he's lost. Nicodemus came talking about what he knew, and the Lord said, "Until you're born from above, you can't see these things. You can't know these things." And he told him, "Your problem is not that you don't understand the doctrine. The problem is you don't receive my witness. You don't believe on me." He's telling him he's spiritually dead. He's telling him he's got to be born again, and he's ignorant and he's lost. Maybe the Lord had already begun a work of grace in him, because that's the only way you're going to hear this and know that you're lost, is if he's already birthed you again. But these are the words the Lord preached to him by which he gives life. He was preaching the gospel. Now, after he makes you know you're lost, he makes you know he's the revelation of God. And I want you to see here, he connects the fact that he's the true witness, come from God. He connects it with the fact that the way we're going to behold him and truly see him and know God is beholding his work on the cross. He says there in verse 13, he said, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have freely be given eternal life. For God so loved the world." This is how God loves his people, the manner in which he loved, that he gave his only begotten Son. That was the first thing he told him. "No man's ascended up to heaven, but he that came down, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." God gave his only begotten Son. He's declaring to him, "That's who I am, Nicodemus." And then he declared, "And I must be lifted up on the cross. And here's why: that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Nicodemus heard him declare, he's the God-man mediator, he's the true witness, he's the one sent from God, he's the Christ. And then he heard him declare how that he must be lifted up, just like that brazen serpent in the wilderness. He must be lifted up. That might have been the first time. Here's Nicodemus, been a master teaching in Israel, and had the Old Testament scriptures that spoke of the brazen serpent, and that might have been the first time Nicodemus ever learned that that brazen serpent pictured Christ. And the Lord said, "I must be lifted up." He heard him declare that he was being made sin in the place of his people, to bear what we are, that he was made a curse in place of his people to redeem us from the curse. God has to do something for himself before he can do something for us. God's got to be just in what he does. And he's going to be the one that gets the glory for doing the justifying. So he's declaring to Nicodemus that the only way you're not going to perish in your sin, it's not through all these religious works you do in Nicodemus. It's not through all this. You appear righteous outwardly, but it's not going to be through your works that you're going to be saved. You're going to be made righteous through faith in Christ. Believing on him's the only way you will not perish. And then he heard the Lord declare that those who believe on him shall not be condemned. It's those that believe not that are condemned already. And you think about how this came to Nicodemus. He just told Nicodemus, "You haven't believed on me. You haven't received my witness." And then he tells him this, verse 17, "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." It gets serious. It gets real serious when the Lord speaks into the heart and reveals to us that we've not received his testimony, that we've not believed on him. It gets serious then. This thing becomes much more than the outward form of religion. It becomes serious. It becomes real. "He that believeth not is condemned already." He fell in Adam. He's a sinner. He's already condemned. It's only through faith in Christ that we're redeemed from the curse. Can you imagine how he heard that? You who believe know how he heard that, because you know how you heard that. This is the Lord's going to make us know that it's only by believing him that we're going to be saved. And he makes you know, this is your sin. You've not believed on me. He said, when the Spirit's come, he's going to convince, he's going to persuade in the heart of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. And that's what he's doing here, teaching Nicodemus. And then he declares what the condemnation is. He says in verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." That light has come. That light spoken of throughout the scripture. That light has come into the world. "And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now here's Nicodemus, who is Nobody would have looked at Nicodemus and said, this is an evil man. Nicodemus was, he was a very outwardly holy man. I mean, you would have thought he was righteous in all that he did. But our Lord is here declaring to him and declaring to you and me that it's not our religion, it's not our works that make us righteous. In fact, that's darkness rather than light if we don't have Christ. It's darkness, and those deeds are evil apart from Christ. They're evil. It's not sin keeping us from Christ. It's not sin that keeps a sinner from coming to Christ. When a man's made a sinner by the Spirit of God and made to know he's a sinner, that man will behold Christ and sin laid on Christ, and he'll come to Christ. What keeps a sinner from coming to Christ? It's holding on to religious works and religious deeds and thinking himself worthy and thinking himself to have merited God's favor and thinking that God's going to be pleased with him because of something in him or something by him. And that's the evil. That's wickedness, darkness. He'd come to Christ. Nicodemus had come to Christ, but only in body, not in faith. And one of the telling things was he came by night. He came by night. I don't know if that was showed an earnest desire to see Christ, that he came even late at night to see him, or what I tend to think is he didn't want to be seen, and he came at night. But I think that's why the Lord said what he said next. He said in verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hates the light. He won't come out to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That probably struck Nicodemus. He's standing there in the dark of night and had come to Christ in darkness so that his religious cronies wouldn't see him. And that probably struck home to Nicodemus. He's saying, the reason you believe not on me is you love your evil self-righteousness. If you come to Christ to light, those deeds are going to be reproved. That refuge is going to be torn down. And that's what Christ was doing here as he's speaking to Nicodemus. Don't you know in Nicodemus' heart, he's just stripping him of all his false refuge. Every bit of his refuge is being stripped away. Nicodemus thought he was somebody because he had learned some doctrine that he understood and thought he was really zealous for God and the righteousness of God. Remember what Paul said? I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. Nicodemus was a zealous man, no doubt. But he wasn't according to knowledge. Why? Where's the knowledge come from? Christ is the wisdom of God. All the treasures of wisdom are hid in Christ. And he didn't know Christ. And so the Lord's just stripping away his false refuge right here. A man doesn't know Christ by memorizing the 5 points of Calvinism any more than he knows his sin by learning the Ten Commandments. It's got to be revealed. Got to be revealed in the heart. And only Christ can do that. But then he declares what it is to do truth, what it is to do righteousness. Nicodemus thought he was doing righteousness. He would have argued with you he was doing truth by all his works. And the Lord says, verse 21, he that doeth truth cometh to Christ the light. Why does he do that? That his deeds may be made manifest. He wants his deeds to be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Remember 1 John? And John kept speaking about doing truth and doing righteousness. What is that? It's believing on Christ. It's coming to Christ, laying down all our self and all our self deeds and all our self merit and all our self worth, leaving that, repenting from that, and coming to Christ and casting it all on Christ. Why does faith do that? Why does the believer come to Christ? What's he saying when he comes and believes on Christ? He's saying, all my righteousness, all my deeds were not done by me. They were done by Christ. All of them were wrought by Christ. They were all wrought in Him. I was in Christ, and everything He did, I did. I was in Christ, and when He was crucified, I was crucified. And He comes to Christ confessing, and even now I live, yet not I, but the life I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. My deeds of even coming to Christ and believing on Christ were wrought in and by Christ. That's what faith is confessing. It might have been then that God did for Nicodemus what He said He would do. Remember in Zechariah 12:10, He said, I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. I'll pour upon them the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they've pierced. Nicodemus may have for the first time actually seen the kingdom of God. He might have actually seen Christ right then. They'll look upon me whom they've pierced, and they'll mourn for Him. They'll mourn for Him. They'll mourn for His, as one mourns for his only son. They'll be in bitterness for Him. Why? Because you see Christ laying down His life in your room instead, bearing your sin. And that's what makes you hate your sin. That's what makes you mourn your sin. You mourn for Him. And it's a true mourning. It's a true longing for Him. Like one would mourn for his only son. That's a true, deep, constraining love that He puts in you. And He said, and in that day there'll be a fountain open to the house of David. A fountain open to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Believing on Christ, trusting Christ, is just like if you were totally filthy, head to toe, and every sinner is, from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, we're just full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. God spells it out to us as vile as He can, what we are. We're putrefying sore. We're covered in just filth. Believing on Christ, it's just like if a man's covered in, his whole body's covered in mud, and he dove into a fountain and just came out completely clean. It's the blood of Christ. When you believe on Christ, the Lord imputes. He strips you of your vile garment. Like when Joshua the high priest stood there, and Satan was accusing him and accusing him and accusing him, and he said he was disputing about the law of Moses, the body of Moses. What was he saying? He was taking the law, and the devil was accusing Joshua of being a sinner. And the Lord interceded for him. And you know what He did? He stripped him of his vile raiment, and He clothed him in a new suit of clothing. That's what He does through faith. He makes you know in the court of your conscience. When He purges your conscience from dead works, what is that? That's Him making you know there's nothing in you that is righteous. There's nothing in you that is godly. Everything in you, in your flesh, is sin. In my flesh dwells no good thing. And when you come to Christ, He makes you know that. But He also makes you know He has stripped you of that. He has put that away. When Christ was crucified, that body, that man, that old sinful man died in Christ, really died in Christ. And now your life is Christ. And He makes you to know He's robed you from head to foot in the garment of Christ's righteousness. Christ abides in you so that you're like the king's daughter within and without. Wrought gold, it's beautiful to the Lord, and He receives you. That's the only way He can receive us, and He makes you know that. And when He does that, brethren, you cry, Abba, Father, and you know some things. You know, and you begin to testify of things you know. I'm not speculating about this. I know this is so. I know what I'm telling you so. It's absolutely so. Because, as Paul said to the Galatians, Jesus Christ was crucified among you. He was evidently set forth before you, crucified among you. What's the evidence? By faith. You see him by faith. You see him. You're an eyewitness by faith of what Christ has done. And verily, verily, we speak that we do know, and we testify that we've seen. Go to Romans 10. I want to end with this, and I'm going to show you this is what the Lord told him is what the Spirit of the Lord made Paul preach over here in Romans 10. Look at Romans 10, verse 6. He said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And then he says, the righteousness, verse 6, the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? No man has ascended to heaven, but he that came down. That is, to bring Christ down. Who? He's come down. Or who shall descend in the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. He's risen. He's ascended. It's done. Faith is not grasping for something. It's not coming like Nicodemus and said, well, I don't understand. Explain all these things to me and let me get all my doctrine straight. Then I'll believe on you. That's not faith. What says it? What's the word of righteousness? The word is nigh thee. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And the Lord declared that to Nicodemus. He said, whosoever, Jew and Gentile. He saved the people from Jew and Gentile. Whosoever. Why? For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he tells him there what he told him about being a witness. How are you going to call on him who you not believe? How are you going to believe of whom you've not heard? How are you going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to preach except they be sent? Christ said, I was sent of the Father. And I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I've seen. And when he speaks that into your heart, you know. You've seen it. You've seen him. And you speak that which you know. You testify that which you've seen. That's faith. That's how it gives faith. Amen. All right, let's stand together. Our gracious Lord, thank you for bearing witness in the heart of your people. Thank you for making us know Christ, behold him. Thank you for making us to know that in us dwells nothing good. It's only in you that we're righteous. It's only in you that we're accepted. Lord, speak now and make us know. Speak and make us see and behold and know that this is so. We ask you, Lord, to speak to the heart of one of your lost sheep and do the work that you did for Nicodemus. Do the work you've done for these brethren that believe you. Lord, we need this from you. We need you to speak and reveal yourself to us. Turn us from this flesh. Turn us from everything below. Make us behold you at the right hand of God and make everything else fade into obscurity. Make us see the one thing needful, the one thing that matters. Keep us looking to him, stayed upon Christ, that you might keep us in peace, Lord. And Lord, shut every tongue and every mouth that would turn us from Christ, and turn us to our flesh, and turn us to the law, and turn us to ourselves. Keep us looking to Christ. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.